Here we go again. Just when you thought ESPN might be turning a corner, just when you thought that doctors at General Hospital had successfully treated ESPN for the woke fungus. Now, obviously, treatment is the only option here. In 99% of cases, eradication is out of the question. Doctors, they can treat the symptoms, but it is damn near impossible to completely eradicate the woke fungus once you have been infected. For the past couple of years, it seems like ESPN has been in remission. Think about it. Just think about it. When is the last time we have seen someone at the worldwide leader in woke complaining about mythical racism? When is the last time someone like L. Duncan or Malika Andrews has complained about mythical misogyny? Or dedicate a 5-minute segment on SportsCenter talking about the dangers of the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade and sending those decisions back to individual states where it actually belongs? It's been about 2 years since L. Duncan broke down in tears on SportsCenter, earning her an Oscar nomination for Best Dramatic Performance. Been about 2 years, and I still have not figured out what the hell abortion rights has to do with a show that is supposed to be focused on sports highlights. For the past 18, maybe 24 months, ESPN president Jimmy Pitaro, he has been able to successfully treat the woke fungus at ESPN. As a result, ratings for the polished turds that air daily on the network, they are the highest they have been in years. Damn near every show has seen a drastic increase in their television ratings. Except, of course, Pat McAfee, which, you know, is understandable because Pat McAfee doesn't really fit the network. Ratings for First Take, formerly known as Woke Take, up double digits. Earlier this year, an episode of First Take with Shannon Sharp, "Hey, it's me, Shay Shay!" The episode drew over 1 million viewers. Ratings for Get Up with Mike Greenberg, "Greeny." Get Up's pulling respectable ratings. PTI obviously is still performing, but even a show like Around the Horn, which was all but forgotten, Around the Horn has seen double-digit increases. 2 years ago, this polished turd, it was averaging between 3, maybe 400,000 viewers if they were lucky. Today, they are closer to 500,000. It's amazing. I mean, it is absolutely amazing what happens when the Entertainment Sports Programming Network decides to focus on sports instead of focusing on climaxing the woke boner. The future, it's looking bright at ESPN, right? Everyone is happy, everyone is getting paid. Even a doofus like Ryan Clark, who has zero impact on ratings. I would imagine that there's not a single person who thinks that Ryan Clark is appointment television. But things are going so great right now at ESPN that even a doofus like Ryan Clark is making $3 million a year. The future is bright. Everything is great. It is a celebration of rainbows and woke wieners at the worldwide leader in woke. But there's just one problem, one tiny problem here. Right in time for the presidential election, ESPN President Jimmy Pitaro has decided that the time is now for the so-called worldwide leader in sports to return to being the worldwide leader in woke. Last night in the ratings update video I uploaded on Pat McAfee, I mentioned an article from the Wall Street Journal where they interviewed Jimmy Pitaro and several employees at ESPN. When Jimmy Pitaro took over in 2018, he issued a directive that ESPN would no longer be involved with politics. Now that directive, it was strictly enforced for about 18 months. Then George Floyd happened. We all know what happened after that. ESPN transitioned into woke BET, where on-air personalities screamed in agony about the threat they faced every day from the evil white man. We haven't seen that side of ESPN recently, but it could be returning with a vengeance. According to the Wall Street Journal, Jimmy Pitaro is once again open to the idea of on-air talent at ESPN expressing themselves when it comes to social and political issues. Now, that statement, it reminds me of the movie Office Space where Jennifer Aniston is working in that restaurant. I think it was like tchotchkes or something. And her super nerd boss is bugging the shit out of her because she doesn't wear enough pieces of flair. Jenny, don't you want to express yourself? Look at Shay Shay over there. Shay wears 127 pieces of flair. My personal favorite of his is the piece that shows Jackie Mahomes pole dancing in Club Shay Shay on a pole that resembles the supersized cucumber. Oh, I love that expression. Just in case there's any confusion here as to what ESPN means when they say they are open to talent expressing themselves on social and political issues, let me explain exactly what that means. If Stephen A. Smith wants to complain about mythical racism in the NFL, that's acceptable. If Malika Andrews wants to accuse the country of being racist and misogynist because normal people refuse to support the WNBA dump, that's acceptable. If Mark Jones, if Captain Doofus wants to like tweets from Bishop the Talbert Swan, where the Swan is claiming that white people are the biggest threat to the black community, that's acceptable. All of those are acceptable forms of expression at ESPN. Now, if Sam Ponder questions why someone like Taylor Lorenz would be wearing the Fauci mask in the year of our Lord 2024, that is grounds for termination. Well, KC, you don't know that. This article states that Jimmy Patera wants network personalities to have the freedom to discuss political and social issues. You want to know the best way to predict the future? Believe it or not, it's not wasting $1.99 a minute by calling Miss Cleo. The best way to predict the future? Look at the past. Like I said earlier, ESPN, they implemented this same policy after George Floyd in the summer of 2020. At the time, Sage Steele was working at the network. She was actually a veteran employee at ESPN. Now, for those that don't know, Sage Steele is a beautiful black woman. She is also a normal person, a common sense thinker. She doesn't buy into the false notion that she is a victim because of her skin tone. When the non-binary mouse at Disney was mandating that all collectors of woke welfare must spend a passionate weekend with the Fauci, where they would be quadruple boosted, Sage Steele had a real problem with it. She was not attracted to the Fauci fossil, and she spoke about it publicly. As a result, Sage Steele, she was mysteriously removed from SportsCenter. During the summer of 2020, ESPN, they were organizing a special on mythical racism. They were gathering prominent black voices at the network to dramatize and discuss the racism they dealt with growing up in America. A collection of millionaires demonizing the country that gave them the opportunity to make millions of dollars. Now, initially, Sage Steele was going to be included in this special. At the last minute, she was removed. Why? Well, for starters, she was going to be the only black voice not agreeing with the bullshit. And number two, Ryan Clark refused to participate if Sage Steele was involved. He even took it a step further by refusing to work with Sage Steele permanently. She was ostracized to the point where Sage Steele eventually filed a lawsuit against the worldwide leader in woke. When I saw this statement in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, two questions came to mind. Number one, how is ESPN going to handle this with Pat McAfee? Pat McAfee is the only star at the network who refuses to consume the woke wiener. We know how they handled things with Sage Steele. Are they going to do the same with Pat McAfee? Now, obviously, Pat McAfee's got a hell of a lot more power. He's a much bigger star. But he's also making a lot more money while his television ratings are struggling to draw flies to a fresh turd. Will Pat McAfee be willing to speak out on political issues? He doesn't seem like a political guy to me. I mean, this is the same dude who thought USC head coach Lincoln Riley had passed away because John Biden called Lincoln Riley during his State of Division speech a few weeks ago. Pat McAfee is generally more lighthearted. Show isn't all that serious. With his ratings in the pooper, maybe he avoids speaking on political issues altogether so ESPN can't use it against him as an excuse to get out of their contract. Or maybe Pat McAfee will continue to have a set of balls and say whatever the fuck he wants. Yesterday, He talked about the mainstream media colluding to demonize Donald Trump, Orange Man Bad, for having the audacity to say bloodbath. Watch it for yourself.
Context big right now on the internet.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
cool. Neat. I'm happy the bloodbath situation's taking place so that maybe we can continue, you know, to be like, what's the context of what the person's saying? Mm-hmm. Because as people that have been, you know, thrown right into the fire without any context, I'm happy that there's a little bit more of a, wait a minute, should we maybe hear how that was said or what that was said about? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Shout out to X doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep that going.
Yeah. Let's keep that rolling.
Now, obviously, there was nothing controversial or egregious with what he said. Pat McAfee was comparing what happened with the Trumper to similar overreactions that happened with him in the past. But what if he's willing to take it a step further? What if he starts criticizing John Biden or pretend Vice President Cam Harris? How would ESPN handle it? Because you know there would be backlash. You know the shit fucks watching ESPN. They would get on Twitter to complain about Pat McAfee. How would ESPN handle it? Number two, if this actually does happen and ESPN rededicates their network to Woke United Methodist and they start preaching the good word, spreading the woke faith, how will it impact their television ratings? It's going to be a little bit more difficult this time around since they no longer had the services of their lead pastor. Last summer, ESPN fired Father Jalen Rose, former lead pastor at Woke United Methodist, but they still have plenty of deacons who can preach the good word. How would it impact their ratings? Let me just show you a few examples. Let me show you a few sermons that have been delivered on ESPN over the last couple of years. Then, you tell me if you would be willing to watch this garbage. Watch for yourself.
What started as a touching tribute to the bond between fathers and daughters has turned mostly into a kitschy, commercialized catchphrase. I know you've seen the t-shirts. I certainly see the hashtags. You know, you're playing catch in the yard, hashtag girl dad. Father's Day pics, hashtag girl dad. Literally any content with a girl in it, girl dad. But strip girls of their constitutional rights, silence. I want the dads watching to ask themselves a really honest question right now, and I mean that. How does the sentiment of being a girl dad evolve beyond superficial social media posts into actual advocacy? Are you carrying that same pride for your daughters into boardrooms, locker rooms, courtrooms? Are you doing everything in your power to protect their rights? Do you trust them to make difficult decisions for themselves and their bodies? Should they be given full agency over their own lives?
The Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, declaring that the constitutional right to abortion upheld for nearly a half century, no longer exists. In less than 24 hours, we celebrated equal rights for women, and now we react to women's reproductive rights being taken away. Today, the Supreme Court not only reversed nearly 50 years of precedent, it relegated the most intensely personal decision someone can make to the whims of politicians, attacking the essential freedoms of millions of Americans. The Seattle Storm tweeted in part, "People have won the freedom to buy guns with impunity while women have lost the freedom to decide their own future."
Now, those are just two. I could show you dozens and dozens of more examples. And I'm not trying to single out L. Duncan and Malika Andrews here. I could show you examples of Max Kellerman insulting Trump voters or Stephen A. Smith crying about mythical racism. But I chose those two examples because they specifically dealt with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. For a second, just put the politics to the side. You might agree with L. Duncan and Malika Andrews. You might disagree with them. The real question, though, does the discussion belong on a network that calls themselves the worldwide leader in sports? Does the discussion belong on a network that people watch to get away from real life issues? For most people, the answer to both questions, no. So why is ESPN willing to go down this path again? They've already seen how it can be a devastating impact on their ratings. When ESPN identified as the worldwide leader in woke, they were setting record low ratings. So why would they be willing to do this again? I wonder if the election has anything to do with it. I wonder if ESPN is being used to influence their audience. I wonder if they are being used to convince people to not vote for Donald Trump. You tell me, why would ESPN be willing to return to woke politics knowing the devastating impact it had on their television ratings? Will this backfire on them again? Let me know. Sound off in the comments below. Like, subscribe, share the video. I appreciate your support. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com. KC_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.